Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. All right, let's have a little review of the match. The match for Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady versus Bryson DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers. All right. I don't know who watched this. I watched, I have to admit, I watched every minute of the match. I even watched the pregame of the match. And then I read all about it afterwards on social media and online. And everybody's got an opinion on this. And this was a topic of conversation that, you know, I had talked about the other day, but a lot of people were talking about this. They're talking about on the radio and everywhere, you know, is this, you know, must watch golf? And they were comparing it to other must watch golf events. And first off, what is a must watch golf event? Okay. Now for me, a must watch golf event is a golf event where the big name players are playing, and a lot of them, which would mean the Masters, the U.S. Open, the PGA, the Open Championship, the Players Championship. I mean, those are the must-watch events. And then next in line would be the World Golf Championship events, because those have, you know, typically really good fields. And then, you know, a must watch for me is, you know, I like the Tournament of Champions in Hawaii, Century Tournament of Champions. I like to watch, you know, all the scenery from Hawaii, and they've, you know, got always a decent field there. So I'll put that in a little, you know, must watch. I'm not going to miss that. Okay. Then yeah, I look at, well, I don't know, Jack Nicklaus's tournament, Arnold Palmer's tournament. I mean, you know, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, Jack Nicklaus Memorial Tournament. I mean, those are tournaments that I, you know, for me are you know, pretty much must watch. I, you know, they're well, everything's a must watch for me. But I mean, you know, I'm a golf nut. But anyway, but it's got to have, you know, some kind of a field. Now, I mean, are these typical PGA Tour events must watch? I mean, really? I mean, how many of them are? I mean, look at the PGA Tour schedule. I mean, the Safeway Open, the Punta Cana, Sanderson Farms, I mean, Shriners Hospital, Bermuda Championship, Houston Open. I mean, Carlos Ortiz wins, Brian Gay wins at Bermuda. I mean, Martin Laird wins at the Shriners Hospital, Hudson Swafford at Punta Canta, Stewart Cink at Safeway. I mean, if you're going to really get down to, I know people are going to knock this match thing, but I mean, how many of these events are must watch? I mean, really? I mean, you know, Genesis Invitation. Okay, that tournament's at Riviera, great course, great field. I'll put that in there too. But I mean, there's so many tournaments on the PGA Tour that just have, like, you know, I mean, they just really, honestly, do not have good fields. And I don't know how you make those, like, you know, must watch. I mean, you know, I look at the like some of these golf media guys who, you know, if you listen to my podcast, I do not care for most of these guys. And, you know, they're like golf snobs too, you know, like anything that's like out of the ordinary, they don't like, but yet, you know, they don't criticize the, you know, John Deere Classic or the Rocket Mortgage. I mean, come on. I mean, seriously, that was must watch TV, or Harris English beating Kramer Hickok. I mean, you know, he seemed like a nice guy. I mean, you know, Jordan Spieth's friend. I mean, it was a 8-hole playoff. I watched every minute of that. I mean, yeah, I mean, that was, but I mean, was that really good golf? I mean, they're hitting wedges into every single playoff hole and couldn't get one within 20 feet. I mean, that was great golf. So I mean, golf to me needs things and can use things. I mean, maybe doesn't need it. I mean, maybe golf doesn't need so many events. Maybe golf just needs, like better events with better players, which is what they were trying to do with that Premier Golf League. And that thing, you know, it couldn't get going because they couldn't get the players to commit to it. And the PGA Tour squashed the thing. But I mean, anytime somebody comes up with something to try to get people to like engage in it, like this match deal, you know, the first one was, you know, Tiger and Phil. And, you know, that was, you know, fun to watch. And then they had, you know, Stephen Curry and Charles Barkley and, I mean, and Peyton Manning. And, I mean, that was, you know, that was fun to watch. I mean, with, you know, and Phil. And then, you know, Charles is always great on TV, no matter what he's doing. You know, and then, of course, this was the last version of it. You know, I mean, the match four. And, you know, they had Bryson DeChambeau. And people say, well, you know, why don't they, you know, they can have somebody else. Okay, well, you know, okay. I mean, who are you going to get? I mean, look at the play. You know, I mean, Tiger's not playing. So, you know, you got Phil. And Phil's great, by the way. But who else are you going to get? I mean, you're going to get Dustin Johnson? No. You know, John Rahm, maybe sometime soon. Who knows? I mean, he may become a big superstar, and he's, you know, does great interviews. So, you know, maybe he's a guy. I'm going looking at the top players in the world. I mean, you know, who are they picking from? Colin Morikawa? I mean, Xander Schauffele? I mean, Patrick Cantlay? I mean, Patrick Reed, these are Rory McIlroy. They had Rory McIlroy at that TaylorMade match before the last match. And, they, you know, that thing wasn't compelling to watch. I mean, so who are they picking from? They got a small list. I mean, you know, put Justin Thomas on that list because he's, you know, got some personality out there. DeChambeau, and, you know, maybe you got Koepka. You know, maybe you put Koepka and DeChambeau out there. I don't know. Anyway, there's not a lot of people to pick from. So they got to have somebody out there. And that's who they had. And I mean, I watched every minute of this match. And, you know, I mean, and it's not the best golf. There's no doubt about that. I mean, they were talking about, you know, Phil was talking about the beginning, how great Tom Brady was swinging. And I thought, well, we'll see what happens. You know, I mean, amateur golfers, first off, amateur golfers can never play to their handicap in competition. It just doesn't happen. Scratch players, when they go out in a tournament, you know, scratch players, will, you know, for years have signed up for the U.S. amateur qualifying or the U.S. Open qualifying. And a scratch player that goes and plays in a tournament shoots, I mean, I'm talking about a zero handicap, shoots 78 to 80. Okay. That's just what they shoot. I mean, to me, that's even par. If a scratch golfer shoots 78, if he's a really good player and he goes and plays in a tournament, you know, pressure's on, counting every shot, not playing in your home course, not playing with your buddies, you know, writing down scores, he's going to shoot 78 to 80. So when you take somebody who's a six handicap, like Aaron Rodgers supposedly is, and an eight handicap like Tom Brady supposedly is. And by the way, they posted their scores. I saw online what they had shot. You know, Brady had, you know, rounds in the 80s, upper 80s and 90s and as his last five or six rounds. And Aaron Rodgers had, you know, mid to low 80s for his last six rounds. So, I mean, what are they going to shoot when they go out there with touring pros, cameras on, you know, no mulligans, tee it up, count your score. You know, they're going to be nervous. I mean, you know, they all admit it. And they're going to hit a lot of really bad shots. So when they got up there in the first hole and both Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, you know, snipe hooked it over into the weeds, I mean, that was pretty predictable. I mean, I didn't think anybody, you know, I mean, like if there was a bet to put it in the fairway on the first hole, I mean, I'd take that bet every time. They're not going to hit the fairway. I mean, if they do, the odds are against it. But I wasn't watching to, like, you know, see great golf. I'm watching for the, you know, banter back and forth. I'm watching, you know, just to see how those guys do under pressure. You know, see them in a different light, see their personalities. You know, I mean, and here, Phil Mickelson, I like Phil. I like when, you know, Phil, he gets going a little bit, but he's trying to carry the show, you know, and that's what he's got to do. It's kind of his deal. And he's good at it, by the way. It's not easy to do. Matter of fact, it's really hard to do. And he does a pretty darn good job of it. But I, you know, don't look at this stuff as like, oh, I was disappointed. I thought I was tuning in to the last round of the Masters. I never thought that. I was just, hey, let me just see how these guys do. This is kind of fun. Let's see who wins. Just I take it for what it is. It's nothing more. It's nothing less. But you know, people that are critical of this stuff, I don't get it. I don't. You know, what did you think? You can turn it off. You don't have to watch it. But what did you think it was going to be when you turned it on? Did you think it was going to be like, you know, the fourth round of the U.S. Open this year? I mean, it's not going to be that. That's not what it was. Anyway, I got more thoughts on this. I want to talk about just some of my observations that, you know, really stuck out in my mind about the match. I got a few more here. We'll get into those when we come back. Remember to get your free instructional videos at HaneyUniversity.com. So go there and sign up, register for free, and you'll get them on a daily basis, and it will be a help to your golf game, absolutely guaranteed. All right, so here's some of my observations that I thought were, you know, it was interesting. First off, it's not easy to get out there and play like that. It's not easy to play when you're Phil Mickelson and you're trying to carry the show. You're trying to anticipate when you should talk, when the show needs a little something, like when he's interjecting his thoughts and when he's and he's great at it, but it still takes away from concentrating on what he's doing when he's, you know, asking Bryson DeChambeau to describe a certain shot. It's because he's trying to just bring out his personality a little bit. And a lot of people he rubs wrong. I happen to like Bryson DeChambeau. I like to watch him, and you know, it was interesting. You know, all the stuff that he thinks about, and he does think about a lot of stuff. That's one way to play the game. And it was funny how you know, Aaron Rodgers couldn't, you know, he couldn't embrace it. I mean, he couldn't get it. He was his partner, and he like, I don't know how many times. I mean, he started off on the first hole. He says, I can't believe he thinks about all this stuff. I mean, all that stuff's going through your mind. I mean, and then he made the comment where he said overcomplication doesn't equate to a higher level of intelligence. To me, it seems like it's, you know, there's too much stuff going on. Well, I mean, that's his opinion. He doesn't, obviously, that gives you an insight into how he plays. You know, he doesn't want things overcomplicated. He wants things to be simpler. Bryson DeChambeau, if he played that way, he wouldn't play as well. He plays the way he plays because he thinks it's the best way to play, and it's clearly the best way for him to play. And he believes in his mind that when he, you know, complicates things and puts all this information in and then, you know, just stands over the shot and, you know, lines the ball up and just, you know, hits it, he thinks he's made it simple for himself because he's put all these variables into the mix and then he just, you know, hits the ball. I mean, that's his thought problem. That gives him confidence because he has confidence in the way that he does things. But it's interesting to see how different people do things differently. Like that doesn't work for a lot of players. And obviously Aaron Rodgers didn't, you know, he wouldn't play football like that. Okay, so that's interesting. Like I didn't know when they got together and they paired them up, I thought, okay, maybe, you know, Aaron Rodgers is, you know, kind of thinks about things a lot when he plays football. But obviously he doesn't. He thinks it's a, you know, tries to simplify things a little bit. But that was kind of a, you know, to me, that was a little bit of an interesting point. I just took bits and pieces from everything, you know, things that they said, Charles Barkley said that, you know, he always makes me laugh. You know, Mickelson always has good lines. I mean, he just, you know, he's always got something in there. Aaron Rodgers is kind of, you know, a dry guy, but he's a witty guy. And I thought, like, Tom Brady was good. I mean, like, for me, like, I listen to people, like, criticize this match. And I get it. It took too long and the whole thing. But there was some good points, I thought, that were, you know, fun to watch, observations to make. Like when Bryson DeChambeau chipped in on the first hole. And then he admitted that he was nervous over the shot. Well, I could tell you he was nervous over the shot. You knew he was going to be nervous over the shot. You knew Aaron Rodgers was nervous over hitting a short wedge shot, because before the match even started, he said, "Don't leave me within 60 yards." And the first time he got within, you know, where he had less than a full shot was on the first hole, and he chunked it. So there's, you know, something to be said for that. Now, people will say, well, that's just, you know, mental. You talked yourself into it. No, well, there's something in his swing, something in his technique that has made it so that those shots are a little bit more difficult. And the number one thing I would say is that sometimes he takes it a little bit to the inside. And when you do that with a wedge, you're going to tend to bottom out behind the shot a little bit. And when you do, you're either going to hit fat or thin when you get on a fairly tight lie, like you'll have tight lies when you have cool weather grass, especially like you have up in Montana. So that's why he didn't like those shots to me. And that's, so I don't think he talked himself into it. He just had that shot. But Bryson DeChambeau chips it in and they birdie the first hole. Well, Bryson DeChambeau said that, you know, he's nervous over that shot. Okay, that to me goes to show you that the ball doesn't know you're nervous. The ball only knows what the club does to it. And it's a lesson for everybody who plays the game, and that, you know what? Everybody gets nervous. Bryson DeChambeau is a major championship winner. He's one of the best players in the world. I don't know what he's ranked, fifth, sixth in the world right now. But he's a major championship, winner. Clearly one of the best players in the world. And he's out there playing in an absolute meaningless match. But he admits on the first hole that he was nervous over the shot. I mean, hey, he might be U.S. Open champion. You know, he might have been on a Super Bowl commercial like he was this year. But he's standing next to Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, seven-time Super Bowl champion, and Phil Mickelson, one of the arguably top 10 best golfers of all time. And not to mention Aaron Rodgers, who was the NFL MVP last year and also has won the Super Bowl. So Bryson DeChambeau had every right to be a little nervous. How did he do from being a little nervous? He had a lot of bad shots. He had a lot of bad shots, but he had some good ones too. You know, I mean, he had some, you know, as Phil would say, hit some bombs. I mean, the ball was going forever. They're playing 7,500 foot elevation. He struggled a little bit with his tee balls. I mean, I don't know what those guys would have shot, any of them, if they were to keep their own score. They talked afterwards about how good everybody played. I don't know about that. It wouldn't, you know, they did make a lot of birdies. And considering the format, that's pretty good. I mean, the fact that they made that many birdies. I mean, it's hard to make birdies. You got to make putts. Tom Brady made some good putts. Aaron Rodgers made a bunch of good putts. I mean, they really did shoot pretty good. But it was a good thing they played modified alternate shot and they could have two tee balls, because there was, you know, quite a few holes where both tee balls were pretty much out of play, you know, where they had to send out search parties for them. But, it was good. I mean, I think it was good. There could be things that were better. No doubt about it. I get it. But I like that stuff. You know, and they were, you know, they're pretty, pretty confident that this isn't going to be the last one of these matches. Somebody likes them. You know, like these golf snobs can not like it, but I can tell you what, somebody likes it. The sponsors like it. TNT must like it. And if it wasn't TNT, I can promise you it would have been somebody else. But they like it. And I don't know what the ratings were, but I promise you more people watched that. It was primetime East Coast. I bet more people watched that than watch John Deere Classic this week coming up. Not to knock the John Deere Classic, I'm just telling you, I mean, that's just, you know, there's going to be there'll be less of an audience than there was for this. And it, you know, like they always say with golf reaches the right audience. And one of the things that they're trying to do in golf is get the whole, you know, gambling aspect going. So it's not a, you know, this is not like they're not playing the Masters. They're not playing for something that, they gave them a bracelet when they won. I mean, there wasn't like any, you know, like prize money, but there was big winners, you know, there was big winners. Anytime there's stuff like this on golf, and you know what? I looked at it and it's the front page of PGAtour.com. It's like, was the first or second line on ESPN, Bryson DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers beat Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. I mean, you know, it just brings more notoriety to the game of golf. And my goodness, come on. I mean, was that, you know, I could watch, nah, maybe I wouldn't watch for 5 hours, but I could watch for a little time. I mean, I like watching the wildlife out there. Montana is absolutely beautiful. I'm just saying, you know, I don't think this was like the worst thing that's ever been on TV for golf. You don't have to sit there and watch it the whole time. You know, people say, oh, you know, it wasn't very good. It wasn't, you know, they did this or that, or they played too. They did play slow. I'll give them that. Man alive. They got to do something to figure that out. But you know what? I don't know why they haven't figured it out yet. See, that's why that surprised me, that they haven't done anything to figure out, you know, to play faster. I mean, or you know, like they start off playing so slow, and then, you know, by the back nine, they're all rushing. You can tell. And why don't they figure that out from the beginning? That, hey, this is going to take too long. Why don't they, like, they should have somebody out there like telling them every hole, hey, we're behind schedule, pick it up, you know, or whatever. I mean, they got it, that part I don't get. I mean, there's things that could be better, no doubt about it. But anyway, there were big winners, so I'm going to talk about that next. But you can be a winner by getting my free Voodoo pain relief cream. If you've got arthritis, pain, aches and pains, and you haven't tried this great product, you can try it for free. Get a free 2-week supply. Just go to voodoopainrelief.com and check it out. All right, the big winner yesterday for the match, and I don't know how, you know, people that, because I'm a little off on these people that write these articles, make these negative comments about this kind of stuff, you know, like these golf events like this. Oh, it was terrible or whatever. I read somebody on SI or whatever wrote some article, and, you know, golf snob writing the article. And, you know, I'm like, you know what he failed to mention? He failed to mention the fact that they raised $6.4 million for people that need a meal. And they raised $2.6 million for, you know, President Obama's, you know, charity. And they, you know, got to highlight that charity and the, you know, the meals, you know, program that, you know, Wheels Up and the other sponsors are involved in. I don't know. I mean, how can anybody criticize something that in one day, all these great stars got together and they raised 6.4 million meals for people in need of food? And then I got to listen to people tell me how it was a terrible thing. You know, I mean, it took too long. They played too slow. I mean, what? Okay. Things could be better. No doubt about it. I mean, I got a list too. I mean, they could have, I don't know who else you're going to get to play, to be honest with you. And, you know, bigger names than NFL MVP and Tom Brady, the GOAT. I don't think so. You know, bigger than Phil Mickelson? No, I don't think so. You know, pretty good. Played too slow? No doubt about it. Maybe too many voices on the telecast. You know, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought they were all good, though. I mean, I like listening to Larry Fitzgerald because I like Larry. You know, Charles Barkley's always great. Trevor Immelman's, I think, doing a really good job. He's, but I mean, you know, they could have had, you know, there's things. I mean, I like to hear Charles talk more, no doubt about it. But you know what? I just go back to the charity aspect, and it's nice to be involved in the game of golf and see all of the great things that golf does from a charitable standpoint. And when I see something like that match yesterday, I think, you know what? That's another positive thing right there. Anyway, that's my take on it. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Hank Haney. Email your questions at HankHaneyGolf@Outlook.com. Hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Be back tomorrow on the Hank Haney Podcast. Hope everybody has a great day. Stay safe. Stay healthy. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.